Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Brewers Outlet 50th Anniversary Celebrations a week from today. It's next Friday. It'll feature the Cars cover band Drive. There'll be specials, prizes, beverage samples, and more. The suit will be at a different location, so that should entice you to come out. And also, Imports Domestics Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the pickle bar is indeed second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. What a moment last night for John Walton, the legendary play-by-play voice of the Washington Capitals.
All we need is a puck drop and release the hounds. Eller for the draw. And as the puck drops, the words that D.C. fans have been waiting to hear since 1974, the Washington Capitals are the 2018 Stanley Cup champions.
John Walton with the call on the Capitals Radio Network. First time in 44 years. The Washington Capitals are Stanley Cup champions. It's interesting. Alex Ovechkin grew up in Russia. And you could see last night what it meant to him to win the Stanley Cup in North America. Wow. All right. The Belmont Stakes. Coming up tomorrow, Justified tries to become the 13th ever Triple Crown winner. Tomorrow will be the 150th Belmont Stakes. My broadcast partner for basketball, also one of the tops when it comes to horse racing coverage, is Dick Girardi. DJ, welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. I hope so. Love to see it again.
Love to see it again. And our guest, Dick Girardi, is brought to us courtesy of ExpressBet.com. Visit ExpressBet.com for free Belmont Stakes guides and to wager on the races when you can't get to the track. You actually really haven't seen Justify run, have you? You were at Pimlico,
yeah,
but you never really saw him.
Right. I wasn't in Kentucky. I was obviously watched it on TV, and I watched a ton of videos. And being at the you had a better seat than I did. Watching on TV, I mean, Pimlico was just obscured in fog. So, yeah, it was apparently tomorrow was supposed to be like today. Finally, we're going to get a nice day, no wet track, and we'll be able to see the horse win the Triple Crown.
On a dry track, I mean, look, you've watched a lot of video of this horse. When he's on a dry surface, what's he like?
I mean, his two best races to me, Steve, are both on a dry track. Now, he won three on off tracks. But the first race of his life, he won by 9.5, got 104 buyer speed figure, which is second best of his life. His third race was the Santa Anita Derby, also on a fast track. He got 107 speed figure, which is the best ever. And in both of those, he went right to the front, and nobody could get near him. I think that's what we're going to see tomorrow, and I think he might win by a lot, and I think he's going to run fast.
And he starts from the one post in this one. It's 1.5 miles all the way around. It's one trip around this track. Dick, what does it mean to you that he's in the one spot?
Yeah, I actually like it only because it kind of forces their hand to do what I would want them to do anyway. And what I think they would like to do, which is just put the horse on the lead. They really can't take a chance, Steve, on some horse coming up outside of them and just kind of trapping them down on the rail. The toughest trip in horse racing is the one where you're battling with another horse and you're the horse on the inside. It's just uncomfortable. In a perfect world for Baffert and Smith, the trainer and jockey, they probably would have rather be outside because it gives them options in case he doesn't break well. But this horse is a good breaker. Every race he's broken fine. I just kind of think it's cool that they're inside because it just forces them to go, and I think they want to go anyway. So You know, I think I'm right about this. I think the last horse to win the Triple Crown from the one hole happened to win it by 31 lengths.
yeah, I believe he did break from that spot. Yeah.
Yeah, that worked out. I just watched the replay again for like the 800th time just because I felt like it. And Secretary did, in fact, break from the rail. I can't remember where Affirmed or Seattle Slew broke from. I know American Ferret did not break from the rail.
Right.
But nevertheless, the only time the rail is a problem in one of these big races is in the Derby when you have 20 horses,
yeah.
And you kind of have to take a right turn to get onto the main track. It's really almost unfair the way that the configuration of the starting gate or the two starting gates are now, but not the case at Belmont Park at all.
All right, it's a mile and a half around, but that also means that you get a long backstretch, and that is a long, like, okay, and down the as our friend always says, and down the stretch they come. Well, that's a long stretch.
Yeah, I mean, look, yeah, you mentioned it, Steve. Belmont Park is a mile and a half. The typical American racetrack, of which Churchill Downs and Pimlico are two, are a mile in circumference. So this is 50% bigger. So there's two things. One, the run down the backstretch seems like forever. And the turns, instead of tighter, are wide and sweeping. And the turns seem like they're forever. And certainly the stretch is not super duper long, but it's long enough. But it's very different. And for jockeys that are unfamiliar with the track, they have a tendency to go too soon because at a normal spot on the racetrack, like as you're hitting the far turn, it's 3/8 of a mile to go.
Yep.
And Belmont Park, it's 5/8 of a mile.
Right.
So it's just a little different. But again, I think this horse is going to be fine with it. I haven't watched today's gallop on the video yet. I did watch yesterday's. Man, he looked very comfortable on it. And kind of an unusual surface. It's much more sand than the racetrack at Belmont than at Pimlico or Churchill. Some horses don't adapt to it, but boy, this horse has adapted to everything so far.
And that brings me to the follow-up question on that. What does it mean to have a guy like Mike Smith aboard who understands the track, understands the turns, understands the length of the stretch run?
Right. Mike has been based in California for a while now, but he was a long-time regular rider on the New York circuit. So, yeah, he's ridden thousands of races at Belmont Park. And, yeah, that is an edge. It's interesting, Steve. Last year on the Belmont card, Mike won 5 stakes races, including 4 for Baffert. And as I said, the only reason they didn't win the Belmont is because they didn't have a horse out. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, that will not be an issue for Mike. And if there's one guy, he said, man, you know, give me a guy who's as cool as it gets, and his nickname is Big Money Mike for a reason, that you want in the highest pressure situation in the sport, he's the right guy. And I think it's fair to say, in fact, Victor Espinosa said this the other day, he's the writer of American Pharoah. There was more pressure on him 3 years ago because it hadn't been done in 37 years.
Right.
There's a little less heat this time. I saw a lot of jockeys melt under the pressure and going for it. I mean, there were more rider errors in the Belmont Stakes than you would see in a lot of races. I don't see that happening. And again, the strategy is really straightforward tomorrow. I don't think there's anything subtle about it. Just go to the front and keep going.
It sounds like a race in 1973 you just referenced.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. The last 4 Triple Crown winners, 5 Triple Crown winners, going all the way back to Citation in 1948, all won the Belmont by going to the front and winning all the way.
Yep.
So, again, it's the best place to be in the sport because horses are comfortable. They train in the morning for the most part, with some exceptions, by themselves. So they are comfortable. Occasionally they'll do like a little simulation of a race, but 99% of the time they're training by themselves. So you get a horse in front, the last time they see the other horses in the starting gate. It's like they're in their own little private race. And when you put the best horse in front, hard to beat.
You mentioned Victor Espinosa feeling the pressure, and you also mentioned rider errors. He had California Chrome, right?
Terrible. The only worst ride I can think of in a Triple Crown was Kent DeSormo and Big Brown.
Yeah.
When he just totally, he was just too tentative. then he ends up pulling the horse up in a stretch, and he wasn't even hurt because he was so embarrassed by the whole situation. And yeah, Victor was just too the California Chrome. He should have just even he had the best horse. He just should have put him in front and stay sitting there. He's inside. He's not sure what he wants to do. And then the very next year, Baffert just told him, he says, "My man, just put American Pharoah in front. If he gets beat, it'll be my fault."
Right. Exactly. All right. Now, who gives challenges and where?
Yeah, that's the where, I think, is the more interesting question, and very well could be nowhere. They may never be able to get close to this horse.
Right.
But to me, Steve, the two horses that have the best chance for an upset are number 4, Hofburg, and 8, Vino Rosso. Both ran in the Derby. Hofburg finished 7th, but it was a lot better than that. He had some serious traffic trouble in the race. And he's trained by Belmont, who's one of the best in the sport. He's won the Belmont before. And Vino Rosso finished 9th in the Derby, but I think you can put a line through that. I ran into our man Johnny V last Saturday at Penn National, and I said, "What was the deal?" He says, "Forget that race." He said he hated the slop. Just put a line through it. And Todd Pletcher, the trainer, has become very adept at winning the Belmont. He won it last year. He's won 3. He's finished 2nd 5 times, all with the same play that Hofburg and Vino Rosso are doing. Run in the Derby, skip the Preakness, the 5 weeks rest, where, of course, the horse going for the triple, there's no rest. You got to go. That's why it's become so difficult, because horses don't do that except the horse is trying for the triple.
Right. All right, so would those be the those will be the other two horses you're definitely putting into your mix, right?
Yeah, I'm giving out a 1-4-8-7 superfecta, that's tenfold. Now the issue here is, Stephen, the Preakness, the horses, I gave out the superfecta cold, the Preakness, as you will recall.
Yes, you were. I mean, you if you were not listening to the show, it's your fault if you did not make cash.
That is correct. All I had to do was jump on Express Bet and make all kinds of money, because there was free money to be had. In that race, we had a 15-1 shot 2nd in Bravazo, and a 26-1 shot tenfold was 3rd.
Yep.
The difference here is I don't think the horses I like are not going to be those kind of prices. So I just don't think the trifecta or the superfecta is going to be nearly as big as it was at the Preakness. But you know what? If it comes in, they will still pay.
Right, and they will still hand over cash.
They will. And it might not hand over as much.
And by the way, tenfold is the other horse you're talking about in this group, right?
He's the 7, right? Yeah. So 1-4-8-7 tenfold. I actually thought his 3rd was more impressive than Bravazo's 2nd. I thought Bravazo, who lost by 0.5 length, only to justify. I thought he was done at the finish. I just didn't like the way he acted after the finish. And if you keep watching, and I always do, after the finish line, none of these horses that were closing ever got by justified. He didn't want to let them by even after the race was over. That tells you he's a very competitive horse. And I know it's a little counterintuitive, but you got to trust me on this. This race is 550 yards longer than the Preakness. So people are going to say, wait a second, these horses are all closing on justified.
No.
Well, this is going to be a completely different kind of race. The pace will be slower. He's very likely to be out there by himself, so he's going to finish a lot stronger, I think, than he did the Preakness.
What do you think of Noble Indy?
Originally, I kind of liked him a little bit, Steve, because I think he had no chance in the Derby. He had the 19 hole. I think he's going to be the horse chasing Justified. An interesting subplot, owned by Windstar Farm, which is the major owner of Justified, and part owned by the Rapoli stable. Mike Rapoli is a guy from Queens who desperately wants to win the Belmont, his hometown race. So if one of them might be telling jockey Javier Castellano, go up there and put heat on Justify. But the other owners, the Windstar people, are going to say, whoa, let's let Justify sort of hang out by himself. So that's going to be the most interesting race inside the race. But having said that, I don't think Noble Indy's fast enough to go with Justify anyway. But, yeah, I he's certainly better than finishing 17th, beating 42 lights like he was in Kentucky. He's a lot better than that.
Right, no, there's no question about that. I know you haven't watched today's tape yet of Justify. When you've looked at any of the workouts, even on tape, what have they told you?
Well, they've told me he did lost nothing from the Preakness, which is a surprise because it was such a difficult race.
Yeah.
And I just talked to a good friend of mine, a guy you actually met because he came up to one of the basketball games, Mark Reed, a couple of years ago.
That's right.
And
yep.
Mark said that his workout, first one after the Preakness, was the best workout he's ever seen in his life. And here's a guy who's been around horse racing for 50 years.
Wow.
That told me something. That told me that Justify might be sitting on a monster effort tomorrow.
Okay, so let's take it through. It's a mile and a half. Well, obviously, you've got yep. Justify either on the lead or just off the lead. So how does it play?
Yeah, I think Justify to the front. I think Noble Indy will probably be the horse chasing him. And then I see at some point some combination of Hopper, Tenfold, and Vino Rosso passing horses either on the turn or on the stretch and filling out the second, third, and fourth spots in some order.
Would you be surprised that there will not be a lot of Justified tickets cashed tomorrow for souvenirs?
Will not be. Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people betting $2 to win on Justified holding those tickets. And always cool to do so, Steve. I'm a little less worried about that kind of stuff. If I got a ticket that's cashable, it's getting cashed.
You darn right it is. That's the reason for going.
That's right. Yeah. There will be no holding of tickets and framing them. There will be money to exchange for the paper.
What was it like for you? And I know I asked you this question 3 years ago, but I just want to revisit it. What was it like for you to sit there and watch American Pharoah do something that had not been done in 37 years and that you had not personally witnessed until that moment?
Yeah, it was thrilling, Steve. I mean, it's just like I'd gone up there so many times with so many hopes, so many good horses. There's no cheering at or near the press box, but it was all I could do. It was fun. And it was neat to see a guy like Bob, who I've known for years, do it. And certainly he deserved it, and his team deserved it. But, yeah, it was great. It was just it was a great scene to be there for and to listen to the roar and watch the people. Yeah, it was very cool. One of the most memorable moments of 33 years of writing stories for my beloved Philadelphia Daily.
Exactly. You mentioned knowing Bob Baffert. What, you know, you've been around a lot of great trainers, and there are a lot of great trainers in this race. What are the qualities that make him a great trainer and a truly special one?
I think he's put together a great team, people that he trusts, people that know what he wants done. I think he's got an incredible eye for what kind of talent horses have early, and he finds a way to get the right program for them to get into the big races and stay at peak form for a long time. And I think it's more just like it's like you do anything. You do things over and over again, you're going to get better at it. And now at 65, it seems like he's better than he's ever been. Now, he can't be any better than the horses he's getting, but a lot of people can mess up good horses. The key is when you get one to recognize it, give the horse a chance, and put him in positions where he can do well.
My friend, always a pleasure. Great seeing you here last week, and hopefully you'll see another Triple Crown winner tomorrow.
That would be lovely. Thank you, Steve.
Dick Girardi, my broadcast partner. We're going into our 15th season together of working basketball. I'm one lucky guy. We will come back with more in a moment. My brother's still to come on the show today, final half hour. Matt's here today. Great to have Matt on board, who did a great job interviewing Nick Dunn in the opening half hour. Hope you can catch that on the Steve Jones Show podcast. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Another fun Friday here on the show. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Our thanks to Dick Girardi, who joined us in the just a few moments ago. And in the opening hour, thanks to Nick Dunn and to Matt Cotrillo. Matt sat down with Nick. Nick, 153rd pick overall by the St. Louis Cardinals, the Shikellamy product who went to Maryland, spent 3 years there. A lot of work in the Cape Cod League, and now is starting his professional journey in the St. Louis Cardinals organization. And talk about irony, that journey starts here, 3 miles from the Sunbury Motors Studio at Medler Field at Lebrano Park. In fact, it's actually going to start in Williamsport next Friday night, a week from tonight. So head on over to the Brewers Outlet 50th anniversary celebration next Friday, and then pop up to Williamsport and watch Nick's debut at Bowman Field. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Amports Domestics Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, indeed, second to none, led by the barrels and the dills. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Countdown is on. 1 week to go to the Brewers Outlet 50th anniversary celebration, which is next Friday. It'll feature the Cars cover band drive. They'll have specials, prizes, beverage samples, and more. Brewers Outlet, best selection of beer anywhere, whether it's imports, domestics, microbrews, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is indeed led by the barrels and the dills, second to none. Speaking of second to none, my brother is with us on the line.
A lot of commercials, dude. Holy moly.
Well, I mean, knowing that you're here has just brought out more in everybody.
I don't think so. Holy moly. It's 12 minutes of commercials. That's pretty good. Somebody's doing good.
We got to pay the bills
somehow. I feel like I could shop in Sunbury anytime now for good sales.
You got to pay the suit. So, I mean, what are you laughing at, Matt?
I'm just sitting here quietly letting two brothers catch up.
Yeah.
Who came in today? Steve Lamont came in again today. I haven't seen him in a while.
We played on the same high school football team together, and I played left tackle, and he was the left end who lined up right next to me. Great, great guy. Always liked Steve a lot.
Great athlete.
Oh, fabulous athlete. I mean, yeah. That poor guy, for 2 years had to carry me. I mean, it's just like...
He was a three-letter man. I think basketball was his best sport.
Yeah. Really good. But, I mean, if you notice how broad his shoulders are, I mean, carrying this load.
The shoulders aren't quite what they used to be. I'll tell you that much.
For none of us, as a matter of fact.
I seem to think the shoulders are carrying a beer can, but he looks like he's living the good life. Nice guy.
He deserves it. He deserves it. He's an awesome guy.
It was so funny. I said to him, you know, did you hear about Billy Ackerman, you know? And this is awful, but, and we won't go in. Do you know what happened to Billy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. He goes, yeah, I heard about it, but he stole my girlfriend, Carol Hayden, in high school, so I just kind of shrugged my shoulders and walked away. I said, you still haven't gotten over that? He goes, nope. She was my dream girl.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah, Carol, yeah. That was, yeah.
But, oh, boy. The good old days.
Yeah, it's the good old days. Nah,
so
these are the good old days.
Between the Kerkorians and everybody else, I'm getting all these people coming in from the past. Pretty cool. Tomorrow's a big day. Our first candle holder craft show.
Oh, where's this?
Right in South Windsor. It's called the Strawberry Festival. There's 150 vendors. Yeah, it's a big show. I'm all packed up and ready to go. It's taking the show on the road.
How many do you have?
I got about 70 of them. So.
Wow, that takes time to do that.
Yeah, well, when we're slow or we need some work to do, we make candle holders. And We were pretty slow. So we got a lot of cattle holders. No, I mean, well, don't forget, not that you, I sold 60 of them in December, so we've I've given away a lot of them, so we've probably made about 150 of them.
Yeah,
so,
Sean and I have been the beneficiaries of the freebies. At least we think they're free.
I actually charged your credit card, but that's all right.
I'll tell you a good joke. Friend of mine, evidently his wife lost their credit card.
Yeah.
Right. This is a few years ago, and she didn't report it. Okay. But he kept paying the bill. he didn't realize. And he said, well, yeah, I can't. He said, why'd you keep paying it? He said, because whoever had it was charging less.
Wow.
Oh, then there's this other one. We're at dinner with a group of people. Oh, this had to be in March. It was during the NIT thing. And so the bill comes. And we just decide, hey, look, there's four couples. We're just going to split it four ways. So we come there, and I throw my card down. Tom throws his card down. Randy throws his card down. So the guy throws his card down. Okay. Yeah. They come back. Mr. Jones, boom. Mr. Isles, Mr. McGrath, and Mr. Karpinski. He goes, Mr. Karpinski? Oh, no. They went to the NCAA Wrestling Championships.
Yeah.
And they did the old throw, everybody throw the card in and split it like we just did.
Yeah.
And he took Karpinski's card and they took his card.
Oh, my gosh.
So for a week, he says, I've been charging stuff left and right. I said, well, you may find out, by the way, that they charge less and it's good.
Should have bought a car. I'll put it on this.
That's like unbelievable. And no, Gary Goloszewski, who listens all the time. Gary, you were out dining with somebody else that night in the main dining room. We weren't the A-class friends that night. So, I mean, I Gary right now. I saw Gary the other night. He's in the car right now going, yeah, I can't believe you did that.
That's like the guy who robbed the bank and gave the teller his license first.
Yeah. It's like, what are you doing?
So the police met him at his house. So,
Oh, my goodness.
Well, hey, go Washington Capitals, huh?
I'm happy about that. You know, the odd thing is
Vegas had a great year. You know, that's no Vegas got all it to do, but Ovechkin deserved to get that cup.
Yes, he did.
He's a great hockey player, and I always get sad when I see Dan Marino. You know, I'm like, what a great quarterback, but he's always got that thing hanging over him. You know. And they don't deserve that, but it's there, you know?
Sure.
I mean, John Elway, it was like, God, he's never going to win one. He finally won one, and then he won two. But it took him his whole career. And these guys who are better than the best of the best, you want to see him reach every level. You know, you don't want anyone to ever say, yeah, but, you know, because he didn't deserve the yeah, buts.
Here's what's interesting about Vegas, the expansion team. You know what last night marked? What? Their first four-game losing streak all season.
Really? Really? Yep. Hey, they just lost their scoring touch. I mean, did you see Neil miss that open net?
Well, but Holpe, I'll tell you, Holpe, I thought played great.
Yeah, but did you see when last night, the game before, I think game four, it was wide. I mean, Holpe was on his side. He was laying down, and one of the defensemen tried to slide in front of the net, and he missed. And when that happens, you just kind of like say, wow, you know, maybe the road is just about closed here, you know.
Well, maybe the road closes for Cleveland tonight, so we'll see.
Oh, I think so. Golden State so much better than they are. I don't.
Oh, much better.
I mean, that's a tough spot for James. I mean, you can't give games away, and they gave the first one away. You can't, not against a great team. And even if Cleveland wins tonight, which I don't think they will, but
I don't either.
Yeah, they've got too many players who could. If somebody's having a bad, Seth Curry goes what? Gets one 3-pointer in the last game or the game before, and they still win the game.
Yeah, last game he hit one, and Klay Thompson had a really, really tough shooting night. So if you're Cleveland, the formula you wanted was playing at home, Steph Curry struggles, Klay Thompson struggles.
Right.
You had everything you want, and you lost.
Yeah. I mean, or if you're Cleveland, you have the lead with 3 seconds left, or you're on the free throw, and you lose the game. You can't beat a great team and do that. They're not like LeBron says. I like LeBron James. I like to listen to him. He says you just can't make mistakes. You can't. They will capitalize on every mistake you make. And I think he brought up an analogy of the Miami Heat when they played San Antonio. He said we knew we could not make a mistake. If we made a mistake, we were going to lose. You know, they will capitalize on every mistake we make, and that's what's going on.
It's something I refer to all the time in broadcasts as margin of error. You get into a if your margin of error becomes extremely thin, I mean, the pressure to continue to play near perfect, can't play perfect, but to play near perfect, actually mounts on you as time goes until finally you hit a point where if you've done it well enough, the pressure then goes to the favorite because they're like, hey, wait a minute, what's going on? We can't, you know, we can't get anything going. Now the pressure goes on them. But their pressure on you does mount as the game goes to keep it going because you feel like the first mistake you make is the first time the dam begins to crack.
Well, that's pretty much what LeBron said, because the reporter's question was, do you feel the pressure? And that's exactly what you just said. The pressure is you cannot make a mistake. You know, there's no second chances. If you make a mistake, they will steal the ball. You went from scoring 2 points to giving them 3. You know, it's a 5-point turnaround. And, I mean, the best example in the world is LeBron James had the best game ever in a finals. 50 points. I don't know if he had a triple-double or not, but he was close, and they lost. And if LeBron James doesn't score, Cleveland can't win. They don't have there is no plan B. You know, it's
well, it's, that's because they traded plan B away.
Yeah, yeah. But, hey, they're still in the finals, you know.
I know.
Because of LeBron. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they're in the finals, by the way, if plan B plays. Okay, and that's, and I'm talking about Kyrie Irving. If he's with the Celtics, healthy, Cleveland doesn't win.
Yeah, Celtics would be there getting beat. But
yeah, it'd be their turn.
Yeah, I don't know. But I'm just happy for the Capitals. And I'm watching NHL Live last night, and the reporter says they showed all the Washington fans crowded outside the Capitol Arena or whatever.
Capital One Center,
Capital One Center.
Yeah, I did the Big Ten tournament in there last year.
He says that area is championship starved. They haven't had a champion since some basketball team back in the 50s or something. And I look at the TV and I said, what about the Redskins?
What about the Redskins? Yeah, I don't know what the heck he's talking about.
What are you talking
about?
It's
26 years since the Redskins in 92.
Yeah, the Redskins won 3 Super Bowls. They won 3 Super Bowls, right? The last time they won was the 92, right? The Washington Bullets, who are now the Wizards, won the 78-79 NBA championship. Baseball team, whether it's the Senators, well, The old Senators. Well, the Orioles don't count. They're Baltimore. No. They're Baltimore. I mean, it's not like Washington. It's not like Washington hasn't had baseball because the Minnesota Twins were the Washington Senators up until 1960. Walter Johnson pitched for them and so forth. Then the Texas Rangers then became the Washington Senators till they moved to Arlington. Now they get the Nationals. So, I mean, that area, 26 years is a long time to not have a championship of any kind.
Yeah, but they've had them.
They've had them. Yeah, well, yeah. Look.
You know, go to Buffalo.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I don't know who does their research, so.
Oh, I was just stunned that he would say something like that. He just made a mistake. Not a big deal, but I was like, the Redskins, you know? Those were dominant football teams.
Right. And when the Redskins won their Super Bowls, they were playing within Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, because they were playing at RFK. Now, the Redskins now don't actually play in D.C. They play in Maryland.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they play in Landover. Oh.
I did not know that. No.
They did a game there, too.
Well, you've been everywhere.
I don't know.
I've been nowhere. I haven't even left Connecticut since I went to Pennsylvania. I haven't left South Windsor. I walk to work.
That's true, you do.
I don't even leave the town.
Yeah.
I don't leave the street. I'm well-traveled, so...
Oh,
I had a rush job last night. I had to come in at 1:30 in the morning to finish it. And of all places it was for, Mohegan Sun.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, you guys get me even when you're paying me.
I know, yeah. Yeah, even when I'm getting money from you, you still get me.
Yeah.
I mean, how close is Connecticut to passing a bill on gambling?
Pretty close, I would say, because of the casinos. You know, that it's a casino-ridden state. It's a heavy lottery state. I think it's all up to the governor to sign the bill, but I think he'll sign it.
Delaware started on Tuesday.
Yeah.
New Jersey passed it yesterday, but the governor hasn't signed it yet. Like, you just spent millions of dollars trying to go to the Supreme Court. What, are you going to wait to sign it? Are you kidding me?
What did you think of the Eagles thing?
You know what? You make your choice.
I don't like the way they handled it. I just, you don't like the president, that's fine, but don't try and make a fool out of him. I was turned off by that. I mean, at least the story I heard.
Well, I'm just...
They had no intention of going, you know, and they made it like they were going to go, and then at the last minute said, well, we're sending 10 people, you know.
Yeah.
Why would you deface the whole, you know, it's kind of like you root for the team, you root for the uniform, you know, like
you're a Yankee fan.
I root for the uniform. I root for the, maybe I don't like all the players right now, but that's my team. You know, well, maybe you don't like the president, but it's still the Oval Office. It's still, you know.
You respect the office no matter who's sitting there.
Exactly, that's the point I'm trying to make. Is you just respect the office. You don't have to agree with the man who's in there, but you respect what it is, and that it's our national game, and you go visit the president so he can congratulate you. And I don't see why they want to turn it into a racial issue and all this other stuff. I think
the NFL has a lot to do with this, though.
Oh, yeah, I know. Okay, because of the penalty and all that stuff.
But it was dying out.
Yeah.
And they sat at a meeting and said, we need to do something about this. I would have put my hand up and said, do something about what? I mean, again, this is the league that lets the issue of deflated footballs go for a year and a half.
Yes.
Okay.
Spent $20 million on legal defense.
Okay. Now you let it go for a day and a half.
They still won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. You let it go for a day and a half, not a year and a half. And then when the issue is dying out, where you don't feel like you have to run for cover and don't really now have to do anything about it, you do something about it.
Yeah.
Who's running this thing?
I don't know. Didn't the owners vote to keep him, bring him back?
Oh, yeah, they gave him a new contract.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they gave him a new contract, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll tell you, the area he excels is the area they need. He excels at the ability to negotiate TV contracts.
Yep. All about money. That's why the owners wanted that penalty, because they were losing revenue.
People were down.
The players weren't standing.
They're down 10%. People are turned off by it. They just want to watch football. They really don't care where you stand. Yep. So, look, the fans voted. The fan vote was, I'll still go, most of them, and some said, no, I'm not going to do it anymore. So, all right, have a great weekend. Good luck at the craft show tomorrow.
Let's hope so. I hope so. No harm, no foul. We'll do our best.
You will, as always. Hey, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Steve Jones, have a great weekend, everyone.